hoaxes and frauds. The incentive to produce a perpetual motion machine was so great that hoaxes became commonplace. In 1813, Charles Redheffer exhibited a machine in New York City that amazed audiences, producing unlimited energy for free. But when Robert Fulton examined the machine carefully, he found a hidden catgut belt driving the machine. This cable was in turn connected to a man secretly turning a crank in the attic. Scientists and engineers, too, got swept up in the enthusiasm for perpetual motion machines. In 1870, the editors of Scientific American were fooled by a machine built by E.P. Willis. The magazine ran a story with the sensational title, Greatest Discovery Ever Yet Made. Only later did investigators discover that there was a hidden source of energy for Willis's perpetual motion machine. In 1872, John Ernst Worrell Kelly perpetrated the most sensational and lucrative scam of his day, swindling investors of nearly $5 million, a princely sum back in the late 19th century. His perpetual motion machine was based on resonating tuning forks that he claimed tapped into the ether. Kelly, a man with no scientific background, would invite wealthy investors to his house, where he would amaze them with his hydropneumatic pulsating vacuo engine, which whizzed around without any external power source. Eager investors, amazed by this self-propelled machine, flocked to pour money into his coffers. Later, some disillusioned investors angrily accused him of fraud, and he actually spent some time in jail, although he died a wealthy man. After his death, investigators found the clever secret of his machine. When his house was torn down, concealed tubes were found in the floor and walls of the basement that secretly delivered compressed air into his machines. These tubes, in turn, were energized by a flywheel. Even the U.S. Navy and the President of the United States were taken in by such a machine. In 1881, John Gamgee invented a liquid ammonia machine. The vaporization of cold ammonia would create expanding gases that could move a piston, and hence could power machines using only the heat of the oceans themselves. The U.S. Navy was so enthralled with the idea of extracting unlimited energy from the oceans that it approved the device and even demonstrated it to President James Garfield. The problem was that the vapor did not condense back into a liquid properly, hence the cycle could not be completed. So many proposals for perpetual motion machines have been presented to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, USPTO, that the office refuses to grant a patent for such a device unless a working model is presented. In certain rare circumstances, when the patent examiners can find nothing obviously wrong with a model, a patent is granted. The USPTO states, with the exception of cases involving perpetual motion, a model is not ordinarily required by the office to demonstrate the operability of a device. This loophole has allowed unscrupulous inventors to persuade naive investors to finance their inventions by claiming that the USPTO has officially recognized their machine. The pursuit of the perpetual motion machine, however, has not been fruitless from a scientific point of view. On the contrary, although inventors have never produced a perpetual motion machine, the enormous time and energy invested in building such a fabled machine has led physicists to carefully study the nature of heat engines. In the same way, the fruitless search of alchemists for the Philosopher's Stone, which can turn lead into gold, helped to uncover some of the basic laws of chemistry. For example, in the 1760s, John Cox developed a clock that could actually run forever, powered by changes in atmospheric pressure. Changes in air pressure would drive a barometer, which would then turn the hands of the clock. This clock actually worked and exists even today. The clock can run forever because energy is extracted from the outside in the form of changes in atmospheric pressure. Perpetual motion machines like Cox's eventually led scientists to hypothesize that such machines could run forever only if energy was brought into the device from the outside, that is, that total energy was conserved. This theory eventually led to the first law of thermodynamics, that the total amount of matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. Eventually, three laws of thermodynamics were postulated. The second law states that the total amount of entropy, disorder, always increases. Crudely speaking, this law says that heat flows spontaneously only from hotter to colder places. The third law states that you can never reach absolute zero. If we compare the universe to a game, and the goal of this game is to extract energy, then the three laws can be rephrased as follows. You can't get something for nothing, first law. You can't break even, second law. You can't even get out of the game, third law. Physicists are careful to state that these laws are not necessarily absolutely true for all time. Nevertheless, no deviation has ever been found. Anyone trying to disprove these laws must go against centuries of careful scientific experiments. We will discuss possible deviations from these laws shortly. These laws, among the crowning achievements of 19th century science, are marked by tragedy as well as triumph. One of the key figures in formulating these laws, the great German physicist Ludwig Boltzmann, committed suicide, in part because of the controversy he created in formulating these laws.